Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you love Him with your whole heart? Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise, isn't He? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've kind of had a little special treat this week. My brother is on vacation. His wife and kids are on vacation out in Oklahoma. So he took a week off and he's at home. And what? Hey, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And so anyway, I've had a, he's called me every morning and we've talked, you know, for at least minimum of 2 hours. And I told him today, he used to call me, you know, years ago, and then we went through this period of time that we didn't really talk for long periods of time. But now he calls me every Friday, and I really do believe that because God has called him, you know, and given him the word concerning that local assembly and everything, that God has given us opportunity for, you know, a true uniting in a stronger bond. And I told him today, you know, I love talking to him because it's iron sharpening iron. And it's the preparation of the Lord and all those kinds of things. Amen. It's just been a wonderful treat, I tell you. And one of the things we talked about today, we talked about the promotion comes from the Lord. You know, the Bible says that promotion comes from the Lord. But if we really understand what God means by that promotion, He's talking about that ascension. It doesn't come by the will of man or the desire of man. It doesn't come by flesh. It only comes by His Spirit. Amen. And we must have that arising and that ascension in our lives. As good as it may be now, what God has prepared is far better, far greater. Amen? And so God's after something, isn't He? We talked about it. You know, I love this. God works all things together for good for those that love Him. But the rest of the verse says, and who are called according to His purpose. God has a purpose, doesn't He? And He's called a people for that purpose. And that's why He wrote in another place, to make your election sure. Amen? Make your election sure. Glory to God. He's worthy of praise, isn't He? You know, when it gets right down to the bottom line of all this is, we got to seek His face. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? Got to be, you know, how many know that you can love more than one thing? Right? But God is after something, isn't He? He's not after people that are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It doesn't say that they don't love God. It's just that they love other things along with it. Amen. God's after someone who's sold out. Hallelujah. Unless we think we are, He reminded Peter, no, you've not forsaken all. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise. So tonight I want to look at a second segment here. If you remember, I said the way to God is through sacrifice, right? It's the offering. You know, how many offerings were there? Five major offerings, right? How many feasts? Three major feasts. Amen. You know, and of the five, and we'll get to this in another section, but of the five offerings, three were voluntary and two were mandatory. Amen? And I'm not going to tell you which ones until we get there. So, and on Sunday morning, we looked at the covenantal principle of worship. Right? Do you remember what we talked about? He said, you can't have any other god, any idols, no other things, right? You shall worship. Remember, and Jesus told, while he was being tested in the wilderness, he said, thou shalt have what? Or thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve, right? No other gods, right? And we came to John where he was with the woman at the well, and he said, God is a spirit. And so those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Thou shalt not have any other idols or gods, right? You have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And Paul wrote in Philippians, we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit, and we rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. Amen. Amen. So tonight I want to look at the next segment here, and it's the covenantal nation. It's the covenant of the nation. We had worship, covenant worship. How many know that God's a covenant God? He doesn't break covenant, does he? Ever. Right? He doesn't break covenant. Man breaks covenant, right? Not God. So, under this banner, we have a covenant nation. And in order to be a covenantal nation, you have to be, watch this, separated. Did you hear that? You have to be a separated one or a separated nation. When I use the word one, you have to understand I'm talking plurality, but you must understand as an individual, you have to become separated. All right? But a separated one. All right? So turn with me. Let's begin with our book of Leviticus, chapter 20, our Old Testament scripture about separation. All right? Leviticus 20. First worship, right? That was the first one we talked about. Now we're going to talk about the covenant for the nation is that they're separated. Are you all there? Leviticus 20. Is everybody there? Okay, here we go. Verse 22, Leviticus 20, verse 22. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. Why? That the land whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. Now I read the word spew, and immediately my mind goes to the book of Revelation, right? You're not hot or cold. They're in the land now. But he said, I'll vomit you, what? I'll spew you out of my mouth. See, one of the things that we've not yet understood is, listen, if I eat something that becomes foul to my body, what will my body want to do? Reject it. Well, if the land is Christ, are you with me? So, and I also, when I read this verse, I also see that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, all right? Watch verse 23. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. Verse 24, but I have said unto you, the nation, right? You shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that flows with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Now, who did the separating? He has separated us from other people. You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and you shall not make your souls abominable by beast, or by fowl, or by any manner of living that creepeth on the ground, watch this, which I have separated from you as unclean. So not only did he separate us from the people, he separated us or showed us there's a difference between people and animals or creeping things, right? Watch this. And you shall be holy. Does anybody know what the word holy means? Separated. You shall be holy unto me. Now we're talking about a covenant here, aren't we? An agreement. You know, it's really more than an agreement, right? This is a covenant. And this is what he says. He says, I separated you unto me. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people. Why? That you should be mine. So in other words, he's trying to show you there's a difference, isn't there? A separated people that are unto him. All right? Are you with me? Now turn with me. All right? So we see that in the book of Leviticus. He set a standard, didn't he? He declared down into time, didn't he? The truth of the matter is it bounced. Now it's coming back, isn't it? Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. What are we talking about now? A covenantal nation that has been separated. He severed us. What did he sever us from? Other people. That we should be his. Amen? Look at, if you and I will sing, there's no other God like him, well, that makes us have to come to this understanding that he doesn't want any other people. Other than, this is why Peter wrote this, be ye holy, for your Lord God is holy, separated. It's the separated ones. All right? He is holy, isn't he? He's not ordinary. He's high. His name is above all names. He's not like everybody else. He's not common. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He is high above. All right? Are you with me? Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's interesting, isn't it? He's talking to the faithful. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All right? Now watch this. According as he has chosen us. Did you hear me? He has chosen us where? In him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That was his determination from the beginning, that I'm going to sever a people, separate them, that they might be holy and without blame, because they're His people. Are you with me? Having predestinated us unto the adoption, the weothesia, the placing of a son, a mature son. Come on. Jesus was the what? He was without spot and He was without wrinkle. He became the firstborn, didn't He? And this is exactly what God is after. He cut Him off. He separated Him. He severed Him. From who? Other people. Adam. Didn't He? How many know He was the last Adam? He cut it off. He started a whole new family, didn't He? Are you with me? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. What did we read over there? He cut off a people to bring to Himself. Listen, He took us from where we are for His good pleasure to bring us to Himself. We love to say it, right? We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. So therefore, we are His and His to do with whatever He wants, right? Are you with me? According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. God has severed a people, hasn't He? He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Amen. Thank You. Now, I still have a responsibility to carry out, because if I get to Ephesians 2, chapter 10, He says, hey, I've got to walk in it. Everything that was preordained before the foundation of the world. I have a responsibility, don't I? Just like Jesus when He was brought by the Spirit into the wilderness, right? Yeah. Are you all right? His desire is for a people to be holy, separated, set apart. This is why you will see all the time that God will take a group and begin to whittle down the group until He gets to where? A place. A holy people. Peculiar people, a chosen people, a people that are not like everybody else. In My Father's house, there are, right? Actually, I should say it a different way. Timothy quotes it this way. In a great, I will get to it. I'm not going to quote it yet. I have it. All right, you with me? Now turn with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Where do I want to start? Good God in heaven. I might as well just start at the beginning. I have time. Are you ready? These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said to the Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee, and Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. A severed people. A separated people. All right? And this is eternal life, or life eternal, that they might... There it is. You know, Paul, after it was all said and done, what did he say? Yeah, what did he say? That I might what? Know Him. And the power of his resurrection. That I might know him, right? That I might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. That was in the choosing, wasn't it? It was in the separating. Hello? Are you with me? And he's the firstborn of? He knows, doesn't he? He knows. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have, you know, I like that, don't you? You have to receive them. Just because the preacher preaches them or somebody tells them to you, you have to receive them. All right? Are you with me? For I've given them the words, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world. What are we talking about first? Separation. Did you hear me? Separation. Separation. Are you with me? And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now, here we go. Come I to thee, and these things speak I in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You ever wonder why folks don't like you? For no reason at all? The invisible realm. They just can't get along. Because God has severed, separated. And then, like the son of perdition, it becomes our choice whether we'll stay in the land and obey him or let the land vomit us. I have a question for you. Would Jesus do that? I'm thinking Judas got vomited out. Jesus never stopped him, did he? I believe the scriptures were fulfilled because it was prophesied not that he had to do it, but it was prophesied knowing that he would. Big difference. Because if it was the other way, then it would be like he had no choice. But he had choice. We all have choice. So the land vomited him out, didn't it? Watch this. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keepest them from evil. Remember, no matter how good it is, if it's from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's still evil. Right? Anything that's antichrist is evil, no matter how good it is. Anti instead of Christ. Are you with me? Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Amen? Severed. We live in the world, but he tells us not to be of the world. Watch this. Three things are in the world. And if the love of the world is in you, us, the love of the Father, why? Because he severed us. He separated us. He wants us to be holy. I'm sorry to tell us, but most of you are way too young that at one time you actually knew the difference between the church folks and the world. But God has severed us, and he has separated us, a holy people. My question has always been this. You've heard me say it in many different ways and shapes and forms. If our desire is to be with him or go to heaven so much, why are we always trying to halt it or delay it? Are you all right? Hey, listen, he severed us from the world, right? We were dead in our trespasses and sin, even if we were born into a Christian home. And he came down, right? Or he lowered himself. Not when he came down and came out. No, he lowered himself in the realm of the Spirit to come and apprehend us. Yeah, amen. Amen. When we were in the world, dead in our trespasses and sin, separated us. He severed us. Whew. Man, we do not understand. Listen, come on. Listen to me, children. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Just listen to me. He said, we didn't choose him. He chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. But once we come to that enlightenment, then I have to come to an understanding that now I must choose him because he chose me. And I understand that he has statutes. And it is that he is holy. There's no other God like him. There's no other way but his way. Everything has to be on his terms. Because he separated us. He severed us. And the reason is, watch, no, see, we'll lose sight of this. If we do not come to an understanding that he's holy and he has separated a people to be holy, we'll just want to be ordinary. Or what? What happened to the children of Israel before Saul became king? They wanted to what? Be like everybody else. And Paul wrote this. He said, stop measuring yourselves what? Against yourselves. The standard is Jesus. Well, you know, so-and-so does this. So-and-so does that. No, we've been separated. We've been severed. In the world, but not of the world. And there's three things that are in the world. What are they? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the... You know the word pleasures, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? You know what the word is? It's senses or sensual. Things that cater to our flesh. I think we're all guilty. But that doesn't make it right. We're severed. We're separated. We're holy. We're to be a holy people. I'll balance that and be careful. You know, because, you know, we can run around saying we're holy and, you know, there's nothing to back it up, right? Yeah. Listen, he's called us to be holy. Oh, by the way, I mean, if we wanted to take the mentality that he's coming back for a church, what kind? Spot and without wrinkle. Maybe he hasn't showed up because he hasn't seen it yet. It's not what I know. Alone. I need to know. But that by itself won't, you know. God's after expression, isn't he? After an expression of himself. Watch this. Nah, I don't know. I don't know if you can get a hold of it. God's holy. No, I mean, think about it. He's holy. Where does he live? He lives in the holiest of holies. He's the most holy God. And the requirement is holiness. Isn't it? Separated. Severed. Not like everybody else. All right, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, are you there? Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that we can be partakers of the divine nature. And the reason he gives us all this stuff, I like to call it that, is so that we can be holy. No. So that we can be holy, even as he is holy. His whole goal is to bring fallen man into the ultimate intention that he had from the beginning as a people that were severed, separated. For a purpose. I do believe that this will just be a wrinkle in the and make a mess of your minds, maybe. But I also believe that God threw a stone into the drink and there's ripples of time. Are you with me? Listen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. He didn't give us the spirit of the world. Why didn't he give us the spirit of the world? Because he's not in the world. This is a newsflash. He's not even trying to save the world. Are you listening to me? He says, behold, the world passes away. Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. Because what God is trying to get you and I to understand that everything that He is doing is birthed out of His Spirit. So He hasn't given us the spirit of the world, but He's given us the spirit of Himself. Hello? The Spirit of God, that we might know. I'm telling you, the word know is the word epigenosko. It's that we intimately, it's koinonia, it's to have fellowship with it. It's not just to relate to it. I can relate to things, right? But He wants me to fellowship with it. Have intimacy. He said, I've separated you for my purpose. You ever ask yourself the question, why did you choose me, God? I mean, there's 6 billion people on the planet. And you just have to walk around and find out that not everybody wants what God has given him. You know, get outside of our little community of Christianity, whether we put on our headphones and we turn on the radio. Get outside of that community. The truth of the matter is the world don't want anything to do with Christ. The real truth of the matter is they really don't. I think somewhere in around 2009, didn't Newsweek write an article about, you know, the Christian church is dying. It's actually declining. They actually have numbers. And you'll never believe where the worst place is. New England. No surprise, is it? Just go there. You'll find out. God hasn't given us the spirit of the world, Beck. He gave us the Spirit of God that we might know everything that He has given to us, everything that pertains to life and godliness or godlikeness. And if we can't settle this one thing in godlikeness, He's holy. He's different. Listen, He even said this to us. He said, my ways aren't your ways and my thoughts aren't your thoughts. But He gave us the mind of Christ so they could become. That's why He tells us to put it on. Right? Remember what I told you on Sunday? Listen, the biggest fallacy and mistake that people make is that when they come to Jesus, they become a new creation. They're born again. They get a brand new nature if they get circumcised in water baptism. But it doesn't mean that they never will change their character. Character has to be developed. It has to grow. This is why we can hookamashai and still have a whole lot of issues in our lives, huh? It's character. Holy. The difference between clean and unclean. And listen, after a while, if we live in the world so often or so much, we'll start calling, the Bible says this, we'll start calling the unclean clean. It says that we even call the wicked righteous. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm almost done. I don't want you to lose sight of what God's really... I said 2 Timothy, right? I actually hit 2 Corinthians. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 12, we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. If we believe not, He's still faithful. He can't deny Himself. He can't deny who He is. Who is He? He's holy, isn't He? See, put these things in remembrance, charge them before the Lord. Study or be diligent to what? Show thyself approved. In other words, integrity. You've got to be what you say you are. Just because I say it doesn't mean I am. All right? Shun profane, vain babblings, for they'll increase to more ungodliness. Word will eat as a canker. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You know, that still goes on today. Right? Well, Jesus is the resurrection. Listen, there's more to it. There's multiple facets of what God talks about, right? Here we go. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. How does He know them? He chose them in Himself. He separated them. He knows. Now I have a question. If He chose me and separated me and knows me, can I still miss the mark? Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to make that clear. But I don't want to look at it like that from this point of view tonight. Listen, He knows us. The foundation of God is sure, having this seal. I tell you what, I'm excited now. Are you with me? You know something? I need to know Him, but I thank God He knows me. I mean, He knows my comings and goings, my ups, my downs, my ins and outs, all my failures and all my, you know, good points and everything that's in between. He knows me. He knows. But He's drawn me to Himself that I might know Him. Remember the problem that the folks had and said, Lord, Lord, didn't we? And He said, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. We lose sight of this in the church, that God's only goal, it isn't to bring deliverance to all these little aches and pains and things we have in society or all the ills. God's goal is to bring a people to Himself. the Spirit of Christ. Why? That we might overcome or depart. Purge. Cleanse. Study. To become, oh, not in part, but the fullness. I don't know about you, but I want the whole portion. I don't want to be spewed out of the land, do you? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit, God. Whew. You are holy. You are holy, God. You are righteous. You know, I was thinking about this today. You know what? It's not the pastor or anybody else's job to get us excited. It's our own. Because if we can't be excited about how holy God is or who he is, not what he does for me, not what he did for me. I thank God for every bit of that, don't you? I mean, without that, we'd be, you know. But you know what? It's for who he is. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your life and your Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. That the name of the Lord would be exalted in our midst. Hallelujah. Remember this? That he called us? That I and the children that you have given me are for what? Signs and wonders. In other words, separated, severed, not like everybody else. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Give him glory. Hallelujah.